Just a quick reminder to register for the Values Workshop with Karen Gillan. It's this Thursday. So if you're listening to this live, it's coming out on a Tuesday, and the workshop is on Thursday, April 25th at 1 p.m. Central 2024. And the Values Workshop is going to help you discover what your core values are, learn how to use them, own them, and make them your go-to accessory in your life and business. And knowing your values really helps you clear the clutter, silence the noise, and increase satisfaction, not only in your business, but also in your life. So Karen has agreed to do this workshop for listeners of the podcast. So if you're listening to this, I invite you to go register at training.simplysquaredaway.com/values, or I'll also include the link in the show notes. Now for this week. In this episode, I'm totally just coming up to the mic and telling you about me. I'm going to pretend that you asked me, Tracy, who are you? Tell me about yourself. Where'd you grow up? What do you do? What made you get into organizing and coaching? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Are you ready to work less, feel more organized and productive, streamline repetitive tasks, and implement systems that allow your coaching business to run smoothly even without you? If so, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Organized Coach Podcast, your go-to source for practical tips and solutions. I'm your host, Tracy Hoth, professional organizer, certified life coach, simplifying expert, and most of all, down-to-earth fellow coach just like you. No matter if you think you're missing the organizing gene, have ADHD, or just love anything organizing, I'm here to help you become an organized coach with a business that works for you. Pull up a seat and let's get started. As I was thinking about this episode, I was like, okay, do I start with, well, I was born in Minnesota. And I thought, why not? You are going to know who I am and what my life was like. So I was born in Minnesota and grew up in a little town outside of St. Paul, probably about 45 minutes northeast of St. Paul, right on the border of Minnesota and Wisconsin. Some people in Minnesota might know where Stillwater is. We were 20 minutes north in a little town called Scandia. And we had 6 acres. My parents moved out there when I was 2. And we had horses. And we had a giant garden. We would raise our own meat and vegetables. It was a really good childhood. I look back and I'm so grateful for all that we had. We showed our horses, so I learned how to ride and show. We showed Western. We got our own horse. We camped with our horses. We were in a horse club, and so we would go, we called it the Barrens, and we would drive our trailer and camper up there and camp with a bunch of other families and go on horse trail rides together. I had a sister who was a year older, so I always had a friend. The 4 of us would do things together, my parents and the 2 of us. We heated our house with a wood-burning stove, and so I grew up working hard. We had a pretty big lawn. I mowed the lawn. We would go out as a family and cut wood. I was in 4-H, and so we would have different projects. 1 year, I raised a pig. 1 year, I raised ducks. And I was so glad when that was over because they were so messy. 1 year, I think it was my sister, raised rabbits. And so that was part of our chores. We always had chores to clean and feed animals and mow the lawn and cut weeds and weed the garden and haul wood. So we always had a lot of things to do. I won the Minnesota State Fair pet pony class. And the one thing I remember about it, I was riding Queenie, my pony. I think I was probably around 7. It was at the state fair, so a huge coliseum. And I remember going in, and I think I was a pretty nervous, anti-risk child, where my sister and my dad, they ran like barrel racing and pole racing. I was a little bit too scared to do that. But I won this pet pony class, and I remember when you win, you have to take a ride around the arena by yourself, and my pony started running, and when it got to the end, it turned and ran the opposite direction towards the gate to get out, and I just held on for my life. I remember thinking, I'm gonna die and fall off my pony. Then in seventh grade, my dad got my sister and I each a horse, and we trained our horses together. I do remember that, going to a trainer's ring every week, maybe, and training our horses. And my horse fit me perfectly. She was calm. Her name was Ruby. My sister had a horse who had definitely more energy. Her name was Belle. And I always joke with my sister about Ruby was perfect. She was calm and just the greatest horse. And I think back about my mom, who was our biggest supporter. She was always there. She was the behind the scenes person. She sewed our outfits that we used to show in. She sewed our clothes. She did so much work in the garden, harvesting the food and canning it and having a meal on the table every night at 5 p.m. And it was just a great life. My dad and built us a basketball slab, like a cement slab with a basketball hoop on it, down by our barn. We played basketball. We never practiced as much as he would have liked us to. Or as much as if we were more driven that we would have practiced. My best friend lived about a mile away, and we would ride our bikes on this two-lane highway to get to each other's houses. And it was really good. It was a really, really good childhood. Then the most amazing thing happened. My mom got pregnant when she was 38, a surprise, and my little brother was born. He was 12 years younger than me, and it was so fun. So it was a blessing in my life because my sister and I got to take care of him, got to learn how to take care of a baby. So then when I had my own kids, it was nothing new. I'd already been taking care of a baby. I babysat a lot because of that. People knew that I could watch a child and had experience with that. So I got babysitting jobs more often, I think. And then 2 years later, my dad, I guess, just got sick of the cold. That's what I remember about it. And decided he wanted to move away from Minnesota, the cold weather, because we would be snow plowing our driveway. We had a pretty long driveway. And his job could transfer him either to El Paso or to Waco, Texas. And because Waco had humidity and El Paso didn't, this is how I remember it. It'd be fun to find out if this is really what happened. He decided to go to El Paso. So we moved when I was the summer before high school, but the summer before my freshman year, we moved to El Paso, Texas. Talk about a culture change. My high school was 85% Hispanic, so I was now a minority. Everybody spoke Spanish, but I loved it. I remember driving down to El Paso and my parents were just telling me, this is an experience that you can make the most of. That's how I interpreted whatever they were saying, that this was an opportunity to start a new life, to make it as fun as you can make it. In El Paso, at our high school, we were tall. I was 5'9½", and we had played basketball, so we were very good at basketball, and being tall, that was an asset. So I played volleyball, we played basketball, and ran track. We played volleyball that first summer we got there so that we could get to meet people at the school. I'd never played volleyball before. I didn't know the rules to volleyball. It was kind of a traumatic experience, actually. In one of the games, our team didn't have the back row player. Someone was missing, and so they rotated me through the back row, and I could not receive that ball and get a good pass. And so they hit it to me over and over and over. And it was so traumatic. I remember hating every second of that. And the next year, I didn't play volleyball again. Now, looking back, I kind of wish I would have, just so that I was better at it now. My husband loves playing volleyball, and I just don't love it probably because of that. But I met my two best friends in high school that summer and really enjoyed the experience of high school and athletics and having really good friends. We also had a little summer job at the neighbor's house. She had us come over and ride her horse for exercise. She had me show her horse. And so I would train him and work with him before the show. But we developed a really cool relationship, and her name was Alice, and she was a little bit like a mentor. She taught me a lot of things. She took me on a trip with her. I remember we went to Seattle to meet her sister and her sister's family, and it was just really fun. She was a really neat influence in my life. I graduated and was able to get a scholarship to the local college, University of Texas at El Paso. So I stayed home my first 2 years of college and worked at Walmart. I was a cashier, and then I worked at the service desk, and then eventually I went to the cash office, and I worked at the cash office all through college. And my junior year, I transferred to another school. I wanted to experience dorm life and college life, like what you imagine it. So I transferred to the University of North Texas in Denton and lived in the dorms my junior year. And then my senior year, I moved out into an apartment with a friend. I transferred to that Walmart and worked in the cash office. And I worked a lot. I worked probably 30 to 35 hours a week every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then I booked all my classes on Tuesday and Thursday. And I was active in a co-ed business fraternity, Delta Sigma Pi. Really loved college life. It was good. After college, I got a job as a recruiter, headhunter. I recruited hospital pharmacists in a very small office with the owner and two other employees and myself. And after a month or two, another employee was hired. Her name was Kimberly, and Kimberly and I became such good friends in so little time, like within a month. We just loved each other so much. She was unique. She was really amazing. And her and I went on a trip together to Austin, and then we would hang out a lot together. And one day she said she was moving to California because she wanted to be a pharmacy sales rep and they weren't hiring at the moment. So she was going to move home to California to live with her parents for the summer and then come back and work, get a job as a sales rep. And so she said, "Tracy, you want to come with me?" And I thought, what? I quit my job and just moved to California. It sounded so adventurous and so fun. I kind of wanted to get away from some things that were happening where I was. And so I said, yeah, actually. And so we both quit our jobs. Her brother came up from college and the three of us drove two cars to California. Her parents lived in Orange County and we lived there for the summer. It was the most amazing experience. Her parents were amazing. I call them my summer parents. They were so sweet and so loving, and they just adopted me like one of their own. And about 2 weeks in, we went to lunch with a neighbor lady that was a very good friend of theirs, and we had muffins and coffee on the lake, and then we went over to her house. When we walked in her house, there was a blue book on the stand there. And she said, "I've just been praying about who I want to disciple." And I didn't even really know what the word disciple meant. And so later that afternoon, I stayed there by myself with her for a while. And guess what we did? We organized areas of her house. Imagine that. And then later that afternoon, she picked that book up and she said, "Hey, Tracy, would you want to be discipled?" And I still didn't know what it meant. And I said, sure, because she was so cool. Like, you were her best friend as soon as you got to know her. That's just the personality that she had. So I said, sure. Kimberly and I both got jobs there in California as nannies. And so I nannied for this lady who had one daughter. She was about 10, maybe. She was a single mother, and she had a sister and a mother, and the three of them owned a company. And so they would have me come at 10 a.m., and I would babysit Tatiana from 10 till about 4, and only 4 days a week. So it was the best job, and I could do whatever I wanted. They would pay for whatever we wanted to do together. I mean, who could have a better time in Orange County, California, living with an amazing family, starting to be discipled by the coolest lady and nannying with perfect hours for a sweet girl? In my discipleship book, the first week, I was going through it, sitting on my bed, going through it, and it talked about having a relationship with the Lord. Now, I grew up going to church. I grew up with a view of God that I had to follow some rules And if I followed them well enough, then I would make it. That was kind of my thought. I think it was more about rules than it was about a relationship. And what I learned in that discipleship book was it is a relationship, and it's something I longed for. It filled a piece of my life to view God as a loving, sacrificial God who created me for a purpose, who wanted a relationship with me, who made a way for me to live eternally with him. There was nothing more beautiful than that. And so I gave my life to the Lord that summer and went through this discipleship a few more weeks and just had this strong feeling that I was supposed to work with kids. And one of the girls I worked with in Denton at that recruiter's office had a brother that lived in Kansas City who worked with inner city kids through the Salvation Army, a ministry that they housed through the Salvation Army. And I called her and I said, hey, could your brother get me contacts to the Salvation Army in Dallas? Because I was going to move back after the summer. And so she checked with him and she said, Tracy, he has a job opening right now for a girls program coordinator in Kansas City. And I just knew that's where I was going to go. I flew to Kansas City. I met with him. We interviewed. We drove around town. I mean, I had a picture of the inner city way different. Kansas City's inner city is actually beautiful with full trees. And they, you know, it's just a nicer area than picturing tall apartment buildings, or I don't know what was in my mind. But he hired another new believer for the boys program coordinator. And we moved there at the end of the summer. I hadn't even finished my discipleship book with Sherry, but we moved there to start the school year. And we went through an Old Testament Bible study, a walk through the Old Testament, which the three of us going through that together. And there was another girl who was employed by the Salvation Army. Her and I became really good friends, but we did a lot of the girls' ministries together. But we worked out of a middle school. We ran their sports programs in the school. We had additional after-school activities that we made up. One of them was Girls Club. And then we did a program kind of like Girl Scouts, but it's the Salvation Army program. And so we ran that also. And it was life-changing. I remember the guy I worked with, Frank, he was bolder than anyone I ever saw. And him and I would walk, we'd drive our 15 passenger van to the school and we would walk in the front door and he would raise his right wrist hand up and he would be like, praise the Lord. And we would walk into the school to pick up the kids in our program or to run their sports programs. And it was so fun. It was just a beautiful, beautiful experience. At that same time, I started attending Bible study fellowship with my roommate at the time. My boss knew a girl who had worked in her program at the time. So Alicia and I lived together and we started going to Bible study fellowship. And this is an international program. It's probably in an area near you, but they had a singles group here in Kansas City, probably had 300 people from age 18 to 36. And it was an in-depth Bible study. So we started going to that. That is where I ended up meeting my husband. Myself and some friends, and he and some friends of his, both happened to go country dancing, and we saw each other dancing. Now, because I'm from Texas, I kind of knew how to two-step, so when he asked me to dance, he'll say that he was kind of impressed that I could dance. And so we started dating, ended up getting married a year and a half later, and then we had four kids. I always knew I wanted four kids. It was perfect. We had two boys and then two girls. After I had my first son, I finished out the school year with my programs and then decided I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. So I stayed at home with my kids. We had four kids in 5 years. I remember going to pick my five-year-old up from preschool and having had my fourth child, and they wouldn't let you stay in your car. So I had to bring three little kids in to pick up my five-year-old from preschool. And so it was loud and chaotic, but it was amazing. Our church was very supportive of young moms. We had a program we went to every Tuesday. I had so many friends that had kids that stayed home. We went to parks and zoos and activities, and it was just the best time ever. I led some Bible study classes at our church. grew in my faith, and my husband and I raised our children and served in church. We served in the youth group and in different areas after that, but it was just a good life. And as I'm telling you this story, I'm like, oh my gosh, everything is so good. And I think about people who have lives that are not like this. And I know how blessed I am. I know how amazing it is that it seems easy. It seemed like it was so good, and it was in most ways. At this point, when I was recording this, I got interrupted. I went back and edited the beginning, and I was like, do I really share this? Because I feel like I said amazing and awesome, and it was so wonderful, like so many times, that it seemed ridiculous. But I do want to share that I love memoirs. It's my favorite genre of books. And I've read quite a few memoirs and love them. And what I love about them is how challenging their life was. Not that I love that for them, but how they overcame it, like, and the struggles and what they went through. And I look back at my own life, and did I have it easier than others? Obviously, yes, in many ways. But were there hard things? Yes. I mean, broken bones, and my parents got divorced in high school, and having four kids all in the same time is very challenging. There's a lot of chaos. And I remember middle school. I felt like I didn't have any friends. Like, I can hardly remember 7th and 8th grade because I felt like I didn't have friends, and walking into the lunchroom and being alone. And I mean, those things may not sound bad when you compare them to other people who had a more challenging life. But I just wanted to point out that it sounds like I said amazing so many times, it made me not want to share this, but that is my life. That is what happened in my life. And I do feel like I have a little bit of rose-colored glasses looking back. Like, I do think I see things better than maybe they actually were. I'm not sure. But that is one of the things that I think makes it easier for me, is I think it'll be okay. That's a thought, that's a go-to thought. And that it was amazing. It was great. Like, that's one of my thoughts that comes easily in my head. And maybe because my life was the way it was, that is a thought that is easier to come by than maybe what someone else has. But do I want to stop and not share my story with you because it might not be as hard as someone else? And I decided, no, I want to share this. So we're at the point raising our kids. Our kids are going through school. It's busy with four kids. We have a lot going on, but we were really involved. We were involved in our church. We were involved in lots of different sports with four kids and lots of different activities. When my second son was a sophomore in high school, he got in a car accident. And this is where kind of our story turns hard. And I was talking to my sister about this and just saying, I'm glad that everything wasn't easy in life, because I have had a challenge, a really, really big challenge. And I can relate to people that have had challenges because this was such a hard time. But he was in an accident in January of 2016 and became a quadriplegic. He had a C5, C6 spinal cord injury and was paralyzed. And we went to the hospital here in Kansas City, stayed there for a couple weeks, and then had to decide what we were going to do for rehab. The hardest day was when we asked the doctor, what are his chances of being back to normal? I think, again, because I'm like, everything's going to be fine. I had never went through this. I didn't know anyone who was paralyzed. I didn't know anything. I just thought, he's in shock and he's going to come out of it. And when the doctor answered, slim to none, like, there is, he'll never be the same, but there's very little chance that he will even be close to being the same. That's when it hit us. It'll never be the same. Like, this is hard. It was hard. And yet in that, I was able to see so much of the beautifulness. I know that's probably not a word. In people. People showed up for us like I've never imagined or seen in my life. And the support that we got from the people that we were friends with, from our church, from people we didn't even know, was just mind-blowing. It was the most amazing gift during the hardest times of our life. We decided to go to Craig Hospital in Denver, Colorado for rehab. And him and I moved out there and we lived there for almost 6 months. So my husband, my oldest son, who was a junior, and my two girls who were in middle school stayed here. And when I say showed up, people gave money because we were going to have to be in inpatient hospital longer than our insurance could pay for. And they needed us to pay that amount before we could even go out there. And we didn't have that amount. So my friend started a GoFundMe page and we raised like 3 times that amount in 4 days. God just showed up for us and took care of us every step of the way. By the time we came back from Colorado, my son, because of his injury, because of where he was injured and how his injury was, the messages ended up getting past that injury in his spinal cord. So he is what you would call a walking quadriplegic. He's able to walk. He can live independently. He's actually married now. It turned out really good. Like, it was a blessing for him in his life to be able to gain back as much as he did. Now he'll, like the doctor said, he'll never be the same. He can't run. He dreams about playing basketball again. And there are definite challenges, but from where he was, we can count our blessings. Backing up a little to when my youngest daughter started preschool and kindergarten, I decided I wanted to work a little bit. I wanted to go back to work. And so I knew, even before we had kids, my husband and I drew a picture of a company squared away. We wrote squared away and we drew some squares. So when I decided to create an organizing business, and why did organizing? I don't know. I just felt like I could do that. I ripped out pictures out of magazines of organized spaces. I liked doing that. I loved transforming a space. And so I looked for the URL squared away and it was taken. So I chose simply squared away and I started my business. I made a website. And I started telling people that I was a professional organizer. And I think my first client came when I was, I don't know, we were just hanging out at Barnes & Noble. And I think she was selling makeup or something. And she came up to me and asked me what I did. She was probably networking. And then I told her what I did and she needed my help. And so I went to her house, into her office, and helped her get organized in her office. That was my very first client. It was so great. And then I eventually started speaking on the topic of organizing and helped lots of people get organized in their homes, in their offices, every part of their home and life, and helped a few offices get organized, spoke more and more on the topic, created an email list, and gathered names on my email list. And then that's when my son had his accident. And so I stopped working, which turned out perfect. I stopped working for all those months to just be with him and to be fully present there. When I got back from that, I wanted to do something to transition my business. Organizing in person was a lot of work. It was a lot of physical work. And I knew that as I got older, I didn't want to keep doing that. And so I heard where Brooke Castillo was guesting on that website and she was talking about her thoughts. I don't even remember what she was talking about, but I went and searched more information about her. I joined her self-coaching scholars, her coaching program in December of 2017. And then by February of 2017, I enrolled in coach training. I wanted to do that. I wanted to be a coach. I wanted to help people get organized using coaching. The missing part of helping someone in person was maybe that it didn't stay or we didn't have time to work through the mindset part of it. And so I went to certification in August of 2018 and was certified by December and then transitioned slowly my business to coaching online and coached people. I already had an email list because I had been creating that through speaking and different collaborations with people. I just started making offers for coaching through my email list and emails that I wrote. And that's how I started my coaching business. I'm trying to think back and remember. Okay, then what did I do? 2019, I kept organizing in person and I was growing my online coaching business. In 2020, I created Organized Life Academy, and actually this year, 2024, as I record this, this is our fourth year of doing Organized Life Academy. So it started out as a membership, and then I didn't enjoy marketing it that much. And so now I run it as a year program. I like the commitment. People are more committed, I think, when they say, okay, this is the year I am going to focus on organizing my home and my life. And that's what we focus on. We declutter, we have a mindset focus, we have guest speakers, we have lots of resources in there, we have a community, and then we have 4 calls every month. So if you're interested in Organized Life Academy, that is available right now. It's prorated to go for the rest of the year. We have our live event coming up. Well, no, we will have just had our live event when you listen to this. So I'm excited for all that we're going to learn during that event. So get in there if that's where you're at. If you want to organize your house and your life and you want to learn the skills of organizing and the mindset of organizing. Then I remember being at Mastermind, which if you are an LCS Life Coach School coach, you will know what I'm talking about, but it's a live event that the school has once a year. And I remember being at one of the in-person events and we were talking about our niche, and I just felt called to help organize coaches' businesses. Having helped colleagues just as a friend, like in talking with them how to organize their business. And as I figured it out, it was challenging. I can organize a physical space, but having all this on the computer and learning how to run a business on the computer was challenging for me. And I knew organizing skills, so I couldn't imagine what other people are going through, what other coaches are going through as they're trying to stay organized in their business. And now that I've been helping coaches for a couple years, I can totally see how hard it is when you don't have the organizing skills. And then when you don't have that in the beginning of your business, you don't have it set up, you're not focused on anything in regards to organizing, or you're trying all sorts of different things to see if it works, it gets to be a mess and it becomes overwhelming very quickly. So I decided I was going to help coaches organize their businesses. And the fall of 2023, I created Organized Coach Academy, where I walk you through organizing your mindset, your time, your assets, your digital files, your processes, and your money-making process, your launch, if that's what you do. And we have live calls in that. So we get all the questions answered. We share screens, we work on it. So I created that in the fall of 2023. As I was creating that and thinking about creating it and coaching one-on-one prior to that, I started my podcast, Organized Coach Academy, in May. I think it was May 15th of 2023. So it's almost a year. And started my podcast and began really, really focusing on only coaches, on only organizing coaches in their businesses and what that looked like. And I really honed in on what are coaches going through? What are their pain points? What can I help them with? How can they learn this? What does it take to be an organized CEO? Why should they focus on it? Why spend the time? Why not just push it off? Why not wait? Because there's too many other priorities. Why? Why should you do it now? I'm really working on my messaging right now around that to help coaches understand the value of learning these skills and getting the foundation set up. In 2024, January, I decided I wasn't going to do any more in-person organizing, which is a big deal for me. It was a big decision, But now that I can completely focus on organizing coaches, on creating content for my podcast, on collaborating and teaching and working with coaches within Organized Coach Academy, it has just been so good. I have loved every moment of it. So that's my life. Where are we at now as far as my life in general? I have two boys. The boys are both married. They've gotten married in the last 2 years. And my girls are in school, college. They're at home right now and I'm loving it. I love having them here. It's so fun. And I'm volunteering in the different areas again, kind of like you go so busy with your kids and with all that they're doing. And then with a business, you could completely focus on that. But then within the last probably year or two, I've really decided, okay, what do I want to do? Where do I want to give back? Where do I want to serve? And have chosen a few things to explore when it comes to that. I think that's it. Shared my life with you. Do I really want to do this? Do I want to put this out there? Yeah, I'm putting it out there. Let me know what questions you have. Maybe I'll do a part two one time, even though I feel like I've covered every detail. Have a great week. See you next week. Wait, if you're finding this podcast useful, you must check out the Organized Coach Academy. It's my course where I walk you through every step to get your business organized, to get yourself organized, to save money and time, to prepare to hire someone, to do all the things that you want to do in your business with ease. Check that out at simplysquaredaway.com/OCA. Also, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but I would love it. It's my way of knowing that you're enjoying the podcast if you leave a written review. I have lots of freebies for you. They're linked in the show notes. You can find them in my bio on Instagram @TracyHoth. And until next week, have a beautiful day.